It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Farage. You're with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, a look at manufacturing jobs in Wisconsin and around the nation with the new employment numbers out today.
First, we're going to learn about foods that aren't only good for our health, but sustainable for the planet as well. Our guest says with every food choice we make, we're shaping the future.
P.K. Newby is with us. She's co-author of Foods for Health. Choose and use the very best foods for your family and our planet. You can get your own copy of that, by the way, with a pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Pledge $12.50 a month or more. PK is a scientist, educator, and food writer at the blog The Nutrition Doctor is in the kitchen, cooking and eating the PK way. PK, thanks so much for joining us.
It is a pleasure. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Well, why do you start your book with the Kurt Vonnegut quote? It's something like, food is practically the whole story every time.
Yeah, exactly. When you get down to it, food is practically the whole story every time. And I open not only the book with it, but most of the talks I give on food and nutrition and health and sustainability almost always begin with that quote. Not only am I a huge sci-fi buff, but it's actually true. We need food to live, and food is also an integral part of our culture and enjoyment and is important to everyone. Everyone's always thinking about food.
How did you decide to organize this book so that people could get the most use out of it and decide what they wanted to do for their bodies and the planet?
You know, it's organized into six categories that are color-coded, so it's really user-friendly, as you mentioned, and it's a beautiful book to boot. So gorgeous photographs, as you would only expect from National Geographic, including actually a few photos from my own blog. But it's organized into the groups of things that you would expect when you're planning a menu. So vegetables, fruits, whole grains, proteins, beverages. And that helps the person reading it to say, hey, well, you know, what kind of vegetables am I going to use today? What kind of fruits? And that's important because that's kind of the way we eat. So that was a better and more meaningful way to organize it than, say, alphabetically.
And you describe yourself as a different kind of nutritionist, where a lot of times you start with the body chemistry and the science and the nutrients, you come at it from the opposite direction almost. How describe your approach?
Well, I wouldn't say opposite, but certainly I'm definitely different, as you mentioned, from most nutritionists. I think for one thing, many nutritionists kind of focus, are naysayers, essentially. They focus on deprivation. And as someone who grew up working in restaurants and grew up cooking and has a sheer passion and love of food, and I'm a very serious home cook, I'm really a foodie first. And my almost interest in understanding the impact of food, not only our health, but also on the environment, ultimately came through a love of food. Because not only do I want people to enjoy food for enjoyment's sake, for pleasure's sake, but the fact is if you eat the right way, you're going to be able to enjoy it for many, many more years because 80% of chronic disease is basically preventable. So we can choose foods like you choose and use foods just like the book's title that is going to help us live longer. And not only that, our foods impact the environment too. So that's another place where I'm different from many nutritionists. Nutrition isn't just about you. It's about how the food affects you. It's about how it affects the planet.
Well, let's dive in. You have five main tips for a sustainable diet. And the first one is to make plants the star of your plate. Why do we start there?
Yeah, absolutely. Making plants the star of your plate is pretty much the best thing you can do for your diet, for your own health, and for the health of the planet. And that's because far fewer resources are used, generally speaking, to produce plants than to produce, say, beef, pig, or poultry.
And those plants, a lot of times we think, okay, we want the organic, oh, but it's hard to afford. We want locally sourced. We live in Wisconsin. We don't get to eat much. Should we look down our nose at the frozen and the canned veggies and fruits?
No, absolutely not. And by the way, I'm here in New England, and so I
same boat
on the fresh local front. You know, it's wonderful to have access to fresh local ingredients, and you know what? That's a gift. That's a gift. Those of us who are fortunate enough to live in a place where there's a long growing season, those of us who are fortunate enough to be able to access and afford that gorgeous produce at the local farm markets like I am, that's fabulous. So support some businesses and go ahead and buy organic too if you can afford it because it's generally a smaller impact on the environment. But as a pure nutritionist, which of course I have that training as well, the fact is that no one is eating enough vegetables and fruits for their health. So whether you access fresh vegetables, whether you get some lovely frozen vegetables that are so handy to keep in the freezer and use, even canned, as long as there's no sugar or salt added, can be an okay source. So the fact is, I want you to eat more vegetables and fruits of all kinds.
So can you make the case that if we eat more plants, make plants the star of our plate, that we're still going to be eating well and eat stuff that's fun and not, you know, lose out what we might be getting if we had steak and potatoes or something?
Well, you know what? It's a good question. I think that the taste buds are actually highly elastic and highly adaptable, just like our brain is. So we might, for example, grow up, maybe not taking your example of meat and potatoes for the first step that we can get there, but let's say white pasta, right? So people are used to eating your regular white pasta that you get. But the fact is, once people make the switch gradually, giving your taste buds time to an exposure to experience whole grain pasta, you'll not only like it, but you'll come to prefer it, just like many people come to like to eat skim milk instead of whole milk. So your taste buds really can adapt. And you also, if people want to eat meat, feel free. You know, it certainly has a larger impact to the environment, which maybe we'll discuss in a moment. But the fact is that just use less of it. Use less of it. So keeping plants at the star is going to be best for your health, really.
You also share the tip, don't always fear the fat. I think we all kind of have an attitude that fat in food is inherently bad. But one point you make that I love is that a little fat with the veggies, even the salad, can actually benefit our health.
Absolutely. And I would just want to go ahead and clarify, not to be overly semantic here, but not even don't always fear the fat, but don't ever fear the fat.
Okay.
Don't fear the fat, because there fats are different. There's different kinds of fats. We know that we want to avoid trans fats, and that's probably where we can use always, right? But our saturated fat, polyunsaturated fat, monounsaturated fats, different types of fats, and they have different effects on the body. And those unsaturated fats, and for your listeners, those are the ones that are basically oils. Those are the ones that are liquid at room temperature. Those are the ones that we often use in salad dressings. And they're actually quite good for you, not only because they provide nutrients, but because they are fats, they help your body to absorb all of those wonderful fat-soluble nutrients in your salad. Fat-soluble nutrients are like vitamins A, D, and E, and K, or your carotenoids. So you need both of them, and you're going to get your best health benefits. You don't want to go crazy, because it does have calories. You need to always keep your calories in mind, of course, but that salad dressing is delicious. I would never eat my salads without a salad dressing. No reason to do it.
Well, let's talk about protein for a moment, because that has been a big buzzword in dieting circles lately. Eat more protein if you want to lose weight. Eat more protein for this and that. What do we eat for protein if we want to eat well for the planet and well for our own bodies?
Well, you know, I think that really there are protein sources beyond meat as sort of the big picture. So you're asking kind of a big question that, of course, all of these, and you guys should feel free to say enough, because I know you're raising money here for your pledge drive, and we hope people call in to get the book and also to support your wonderful radio station. You can tell I'm a big fan of public radio.
That's great.
But anyway, you know, I think that the people are dependent upon meat for the protein, and frankly, to answer part of your question, most people are eating too much protein. The body can only use so much protein, so calls to eat more protein usually are not that necessary for good health. But eggs are a great source of proteins, and there are even whole grains that provide some protein. And, of course, beans and legumes are amazing sources of proteins. So those are places where you can maybe swap out, instead of using your ground beef on a salad, let's say a Mexican salad, one of your high-calorie and delicious salads, maybe use some black beans and red beans too. You want to keep the meat, fine, but maybe use half beans. It's that type of thing that we're talking about. So if you can use less meat, it's just a smaller impact on the environment. It takes about 13 pounds of feed to create 1 pound of beef, 6 pounds to create a pound of pork, and 3 pounds to create a pound of poultry. So that's a huge, huge impact and use of resources to create meat protein compared to, let's say, vegetable proteins,
We're talking right now to scientist P.K. Newby about her new book, Foods for Health. Choose and use the very best foods for your family and our planet. She's sharing her ideas for eating sustainably right now.
We're picking up our conversation now with scientist PK Newby about her new book. It's called Foods for Health. Choose and use the very best foods for your family and our planet.
And
remember, I just want to say you could pledge at WPR.org and pick up a copy of the book with a pledge of $150 or more.
And we're taking your calls, too. What do you make? How do you make sure you're eating sustainably? What questions do you have about eating foods that are good for you and good for the planet? Call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email talk at WPR.org. And PK, we were talking about eating more plants, giving plants a starring role. What is an example of a plant that you think we should consider that we might not be eating regularly? And tell us why it might be good for us.
Well, you know, I think that I'm not sure what it's like in all kinds of places, but I think of one good example is sort of when people used to think about salads, and I think still today they sort of think about that light green iceberg lettuce, and maybe, let's say, increasingly the romaine lettuce, which is a little bit deeper in color and still has that crunch. And the fact is there is a whole wide world of greens out there that are gorgeous, tasty, crisp. They range from sweet to bitter, everything in between, and they make fabulous salads. You can also braise them. You can use a lot of them in soups. You can use them in a saute as part of your meal. And those greens are really, really high in vitamins like vitamin K, vitamin A, and C, a whole host of minerals. And let's say some of our cruciferous vegetables, like kale would be a green that I'm talking about right now, for example, really has a lot of powerful phytonutrients, which are just a fancy word for plant chemicals, like something called flavonoids and glucosinolates. And those are actually acts as anti-inflammatory and antioxidants in the body. So all of that helps reduce our risk of many chronic diseases.
And it seems like a lot of the things you mentioned, the different kinds of greens, used to be alien species, and now it's hard to find a grocery store without some kind of salad mix that includes those things, or at least a couple of the options you're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been incredible. I mean, it's even for me, I cannot even tell you that when I go to my farmer's market, and I know a lot about food because I worked in restaurants for many years, and of course, I'm a nutrition scientist and a foodie, and yet I've got to tell you, I go to my local market, and it's amazing the things that I find. But you don't have to go to your market, just as you said. Now they're even, or your farmer's market, you can even go to your supermarket now, and they do appear in those salad on the bags, and it's good news. There may be some problems with our food supply, but you know what? That's not one of them. We have a huge variety from which to choose, and the more variety you have in your diet, including among these greens, and especially among those really deep colors, whether it's dark green leafy vegetables or whether it's the dark orange and dark red vegetables elsewhere, the fact is those reflect those phytonutrients again. Those reflect those really, really healthful components that's going to really help reduce our disease risk and help us live longer.
And we're going to take a caller now. We've got Vicki joining us from Heartland. Hi, Vicki.
Hi.
What is your question?
Thank you for taking my call. My question is relative to grass-fed beef. I understand that it's both better for the body and better for the planet, and I'll take my question off the air. Thank you.
Okay, thanks a lot. MPK, grass-fed beef, what do you think about that in terms of health?
You know, that's funny because we were just talking about that in my class the other day. I teach a class at Harvard with my fellow environmental scientist called From Farm to Fork, Why What You Eat Matters. And this very question came up. It's a popular one, and it's a long one, actually. So I'm going to say the short answer on this is that grass-fed beef, yes, because they're eating, those cattle are eating grass, you get a little bit better mix of nutrients. In particular, you get one of the something called an omega-3 fatty acid, which is heart and brain healthy, and you get more than in your corn-fed cattle, and most, you know, cattle is corn-fed. But I think a couple of things you want to remember is, firstly, beef cattle create methane, you know, through the digestion. And so methane is one of the most potent climate warming gases out there, more so than carbon dioxide, about 21 times more so. And cattle and raising cattle is the big, 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 big way in which it's emitted into the environment. And that happens whether a cattle is raised on grass or raised on corn. And there's also arguments, and I'll keep it here because I said it's a complex issue. It's a fabulous question, and thank you for calling and asking. But the other thing I was just going to mention is that just because a cattle is raised on grass, it still creates creating that methane, and actually, arguably, it's creating more methane because it takes longer, it lives longer, essentially. So that's kind of the upshot for that. So I would say, yes, it's a better source of nutrition, but yes, it also still produces methane. So I'm going to go back to my earlier point that say whatever beef you choose, is still, if you choose less of it, it's still a better choice for the environment.
Well, PK, you shared with us a 100% beef-free recipe. It is a butternut squash salad, and we've got that up at the Central Time Facebook page. Can you tell us a little about it, PK?
Oh, absolutely. You know, everyone loves, at least everyone in my world, loves butternut squash. It's such a delightful squash, and when you roast it, the sweetness really, really, really comes out. So to make this salad, you simply roast up a bunch of butternut squash, and you can roast up some onions or caramelize some onions, and you toss the whole thing with a gorgeous maple Dijon vinaigrette. Of course, maple screams out autumn as well. Mm-hmm. You can top the whole thing with some sweet dried cranberries or even some roasted cranberries if you like, and it makes a beautiful, beautiful meat-free side salad, or if it's large enough, it makes the dinner salad. I eat a lot of salad for dinner, and I think that salad doesn't need to be boring, and once you have a tasty vinaigrette and have a lot of high bulky items, and squash certainly is one of them, you're getting a lot of nutrients and a lot of it fills you up too. But guess what? You can make that salad your own. You can add a little protein if you want. I love adding some canned beans or some toasted nuts, some toasted pumpkin seeds. You can even add some protein or whole grain. So the key to all of these things, whenever I'm teaching people about cooking and incorporating these kind of philosophies into their life, cooking and eating the PK way, as I like to call it, that means cooking not only for your body, health, but also for the planet. Make it your own. Do it the way you like it, but start out with the plants and make it your own such that a way that it's going to be part of your regular diet.
It's a great place to leave it. PK, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thank you so much for the opportunity, and I wish you all the luck in raising the money you need.
Thank you. PK Newby. She's co-author of Foods for Health, Choose and Use the Very Best Foods for Your Family and Our Planet. You can find that recipe for that roasted butternut squash salad on the Central Time Facebook page. I'm going to check that out. Very timely, and it sounds very tasty.